Hi there, my name is Ed Holloway. I'm a program manager on Team Foundation Server that works on our setup, upgrade, and administration experiences. Today I'm going to talk to you about upgrading your existing Team Foundation Server into a Dev 11 Team Foundation Server. Also on Channel 9 we have another video around this topic that covers the process upgrade. What I'm going to talk about today is upgrading your server, your infrastructure, and hardware and things like that around TFS. The other video out there covers the process part of upgrading Team Foundation Server. So what we're going to talk about today is what's new and different in upgrading a Team Foundation Server Dev 11, what the supported upgrade paths are, what the dependency products are that work with TFS 11. We're going to talk about the different types of upgrade scenarios, whether it's an in-place or a migration-based upgrade, and which one might be right for your situation. And then we're going to talk about some common upgrade scenarios and questions that I hear quite a bit from our customers out in the field, and just cover some of those. So before we get into anything, I just want to be clear on a little bit of terminology. So as I'm walking through this, when I say AT or application tier in respect to upgrade, I'm talking about just the binaries on your application tier of TFS. I'm not talking about any of the database or any of the schema, anything like that. When I talk about the data tier or DT, I'm talking about the SQL component to TFS, so the back end where your data lives and where the SQL database is. One thing I do want to call out, when you're upgrading to TFS 11, we still do upgrade your schema quite a bit, but it's not like you may have seen in previous releases. So if you went from 2005 or TFS 2008 to TFS 2010, you know that we took your existing databases and we rolled those all into one database. So we did a lot of schema changes on that one. We still do some, but it's not quite as intense as what you've seen in other releases. So at a high level, the end-to-end flow, the user experience is very similar to what you may have seen if you upgraded to TFS 2010. So first of all, everything is wizard-based, so we walk you right through all the steps, we ask you the right questions, and then when you hit the configure button, we do the right things to make sure your server is set up correctly for you. So what that means when you're ready to upgrade to Dev 11 at a very high level is the first thing you're going to do is uninstall your previous version of TFS. And when you do that, all it's doing is uninstalling the binaries off of the AT, the application tier. We are not going in and touching your database at all. So I know a lot of times people have concerns that when they hit an uninstall, they might lose some data. That's not the case for TFS. We never touch any of the databases during an uninstall. Once you're done with the uninstalling of the previous version, then you will install the TFS Dev 11 version onto your machine, and that'll lay down a bunch of files on the disk. Once that's done, you're going to come to a configuration center. In the configuration center, you have a bunch of different options. The one that's going to apply to this case is to upgrade a previous version of TFS. That's what you're going to select. So you select that, you point it at your database server, and then it's going to walk you through several steps to get the upgrade process going. Once the upgrade process completes, you'll do some verification checks against the system. So generally that would mean a developer or a dev manager logging in from the Visual Studio client, looking at the source code, looking at work items, reports, those types of things, and just making sure everything looks as they would expect it to look. So at a high level, that's the steps that you'll take. And we have a lot more information on this, of course, detailed information in the TFS install guide. That's available both on MSDN as well as on the ISO if you downloaded TFS. It's in a CHUM help file format. Okay, so as far as upgrade scenarios, how do you decide whether you want to do an in-place or a migration-based? And let me give a little clarity around that. So when we talk about an in-place upgrade, we mean that you're using the same exact hardware that you've always used in the past. So you're just uninstalling and reinstalling the new version right on the same piece of hardware. When we say migration-based, that means that you're moving to new hardware. So depending on what your TFS topology looks like, you may move part of it, just maybe the AT, maybe just the DT, or you may upgrade all the hardware and go to completely new hardware. That really depends on your environment and your needs. So for TFS 11, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a few minutes, but there are some new dependency requirements around the server operating systems and the SQL server that you're running. So if you already have those in place from your previous version, that's great. You can do it in place and keep going. If you're on an older version of TFS, or if you don't have one of the required servers or SQL servers, you will need to either install that on your existing hardware, or what a lot of people do is take this opportunity as the time to upgrade to newer hardware. In some cases, we have customers going from 32-bit to 64-bit, or they want to go to a virtual environment, things like that. So this is a really good time to kind of plan out your topology, figure out where you want to be, and make those decisions as you're going through the upgrade process. So that's kind of the two scenarios for in place or migration. I've got a couple stars here next to the migration upgrade. One thing I do want to call out, there's also a set of tooling out there called the TFS integration tools that allows you to move data from one TFS server to another. Sometimes people get confused when they hear us say migration-based upgrade and think we're talking about using that tool. We are not. If you're doing an upgrade with TFS, you should always just use the tools that are right out of the box. You don't need to go out to CodePlex or anywhere and download this integration toolkit. Just want to be clear on that. So the next thing is we still have a clone scenario like we've had in previous releases. So what a clone scenario allows you to do is basically set up a sandbox or a lab environment of your TFS production database and server somewhere off to the side where you can go in, you can go through the full upgrade process, and you can test and make sure everything works before you actually go to your production system. And this is also a really good way to give you a feel for the timing on how long this might take. So if you have really large databases, it can take a fair amount of time to upgrade. So doing this in a clone or a sandbox environment is a really good way to kind of plan your real production upgrade and get a feel for how long it's going to take you. And we have a lot more detail on that in the Ranger's Guide, which I'll link to at the end of this deck, on how to clone your TFS instance if you do want to do something like that. And one other thing I want to call out also is in TFS Dev 11, we don't make any changes or assist in upgrading any of your dependency products. So we don't upgrade your SharePoint server for you. We don't upgrade your SQL server for you. There is one exception to that I'll talk about in a few minutes. And we don't help upgrade your OS or anything. So if you do need to upgrade any of those environments to meet the TFS 11 requirements, those are all things that you'll need to manually do prior to doing the TFS upgrade. So let's talk a little bit about the supported upgrade paths. If you're on previous versions of TFS, how do you do that, and which versions are supported, which ones aren't, and if you're on a version that's not supported, what should you do? So first of all, if you're coming from TFS 2010, we support that coming from either an RTM or an SP1 version or any patch level in between. So 2010 straight into TFS 11 is a straight shot. There's no issues with that. Same thing for TFS 2008 SP1. We do allow you to upgrade straight to Dev 11 from there. For the beta releases, we also allow you to upgrade from TFS 2008 RTM into Dev 11. We may change this by the time we get to RTM, but as of the beta, you can also go from TFS 2008 RTM to TFS Dev 11. So the systems that we do not support are 2005. So if you have a TFS 2005 system, you cannot go from 2005 straight into Dev 11. If you're in this situation and you want to get into Dev 11, what you would need to do is upgrade from your 2005 instance to I would recommend going to 2010. You could also go to 2008, but the experience in 2010 is quite a bit better, so you're going to get through that a lot quicker. So go from 2005 to 2010, and then from 2010 you can upgrade right into Dev 11. And as far as getting the 2010 server stood up. There is a trial available out there on the Microsoft download site. I believe it's a 90-day trial, so that should give you plenty of time to do the upgrade, get the database converted, and then you can go to Dev 11. You don't need to purchase a Dev 10 just to go through that hop in the upgrade. Okay, so the other item that we don't support is the Dev 11 community technology preview, the CTP release that we did a few months back. That was not a go-live release, so we do not support going from that into the betas or the RTM. And then, of course, the Dev 11 beta that's out now, that is a go-live release, and we will fully support upgrading that both to the RC or to the RTM build. So that's a go-live release. You can put all your data in there, go to production with it, and we'll support you going live with it once the RTM product comes out. Okay, as far as operating system support. So first thing is for server operating systems, we now support 64-bit only. We no longer support 32-bit server operating systems. So that means we support Windows 2008 64-bit server, Windows 2008 R2, which is 64-bit only, and Windows 8 server, which is 64-bit only. We no longer support Windows 2003 server, even if it is 64-bit. Okay, and from a client OS perspective, so if you have a TFS Basic install, or now as part of Dev 11, we have a TFS Express SKU that's out there. They're designed to be installed on a client operating system if you want to. So for those versions of the installation only, you can install them on Windows 7, Home Premium, and above, and that's both 32 and 64-bit. And you can also install it on Windows 8, whatever the Home Premium equivalent is for Windows 8 and above once they come out with their different SKU versions. And we do not support Vista or XP for installing TFS Express or TFS Basic on a client operating system. Okay, so the SQL Server stack is a little bit different than it was in 2010. So we now support SQL Server 2008 R2 and SQL Denali 2012. We no longer support SQL Server 2008. And you'll also notice I've got a note next to the R2 requirement. If you're running the Enterprise Edition of SQL Server R2, we do require that you have SP1, CU1 installed on the box before we'll let you go through the upgrade process. We found a SQL bug in there that was fixed in this update, and that bug could lead to data corruption as part of the upgrade process, so we wanted to make sure that our customers were free and clear from that, so that's why we have that block in place. And if you do hit that block during the upgrade wizard, we'll give you a link right in the wizard. Will tell you where to go to download it. You just apply that update, and then you can continue with the upgrade. Okay, so that covers the server versions of SQL. Then we also support SQL Express as well, SQL Express 2012. And one thing to call out here, in TFS 2010, a lot of our customers would rely on the version of SQL Express that was installed as part of Visual Studio to also run Team Foundation Server under. So Visual Studio and Dev 11, they moved to a new SQL product called LocalDB, which is a lighter weight version of SQL. So they no longer install SQL Express. If you install one of our TFS Express or TFS Basic installations from scratch, we will also install that for you as well. One other thing to call out, I did mention one exception around upgrading SQL databases for you. So if you are installing, or I'm sorry, upgrading to TFS Dev 11, and you were on a TFS 2010 version of TFS Basic, we will also do an in-place upgrade of the database for you. So we'll upgrade it from the 2008 version of SQL Express to the 2012 version in place for you. So that's the only time that we do anything around SQL, just with that SQL Express version on a TFS Basic install. And then the last thing to call out here about the SQL Server stack is we support the same topologies as we did in Dev 10 as far as disaster recovery and high availability go. So if you already have environments set up for disaster recovery and high availability, mirroring, clustering, those types of things, the same ones we supported in Dev 10 will continue to support in Dev 11. Okay, so now the SharePoint server. First of all, on brand new installs, we are shipping with SharePoint 2010 Foundation SP1 version. That's what we'll install if you're installing from scratch. Now, for upgrading, we'll continue to support your WSS 3 or SharePoint 2007 or MOS 2007 versions if that's what you're already using, if it's in an enterprise SharePoint farm or something like that and you want to continue to use those. You certainly can continue to use them. If you wanted to upgrade and get to the SharePoint 2010 Foundation Edition, you would need to manually install that and then run through the SharePoint process for bringing in your databases and doing the migration upgrade on those. And then also, we are working on SharePoint 15, so we're expecting to be able to support them either when they RTM or shortly after with a patch. That's to be determined, but we will support SharePoint 15 as well when it's released. Okay, and the next thing to talk about is in Dev 10 we introduced a new feature that lets you put multiple application tiers in front of your databases. So if you wanted to have a high availability or you had a high load on your environment and you wanted to scale it out, we let you set up multiple ATs. So from an upgrade perspective, you obviously want to upgrade all of those ATs out there to the new version. The way you do that is you just pick one and you run the normal upgrade process. It doesn't really matter which one you start with. We don't really have a notion of a primary AT or anything like that, so it doesn't matter which one you pick. So you run the normal upgrade process on that, and what that's going to do is go through and, of course, update all the binaries on the AT. Then it's also going to go out and upgrade your SQL Server database. And when it does that, it's going to upgrade the schema, upgrade to the new version numbers, and then any of the other ATs in your environment are going to recognize that they are now below the level for that database. So they're going to gracefully take themselves offline and let users know that the system's offline. So once you get through the first upgrade on the first AT, then you can go around to any of your other ATs and run the AT-only wizard against those. And all that's going to do is upgrade your binaries on those specific boxes. It's not going to upgrade the database because that's already been upgraded. So it's not going to attempt to do that multiple times. Now, I have had people ask me, can I do, say I have four ATs, can I do all four of them in parallel just to save my downtime? So the answer is sort of. What you need to do is go and upgrade the first one and get all the way through that. So the first one is the one that does the AT as well as the database. Once you get done with the first one and it's completely done, then you can do the other three or four, however many that is in your environment, in parallel. You just don't want to do all four of them in parallel and have them in a race condition to upgrade the database at the same time. Okay, so that covers a lot of the core content as far as dependencies, which way you should go, migration versus in-place upgrade, and a bunch of other things we've already discussed. So now I'm going to go through some common questions and scenarios that I hear from customers and our consultants all the time about upgrading to Dev 11. So I'll try to cover this, think of this as the facts section. So the first one I get a lot is we have customers who may have a mixed environment with TFS 2008 and TFS 2010, and now they want to consolidate both of those environments or all of those environments into a single TFS 11 server. So the way that you do that is you run through the normal upgrade process on one of those TFS instances, and again, that can either be in place or migration-based if you're moving to new hardware. Generally, it probably makes the most sense to do that on the TFS 2010 version because more than likely that's going to be the one that has the newer operating system, newer SQL, and it probably fits the requirements for TFS 11 a little bit better. So once you do the upgrade on the first 2010 system in this case and get that to Dev 11, then you can run what we call an import command line tool against your databases from the 2008 edition. And that will pull all of those in to the Dev 11 server. And again, this is the TFS import command. It's documented out in the MSDN docs for the server. And one other thing you can do also, if you need to consolidate multiple instances of TFS 2010, after you do upgrade the first one, you can go through and do a team project collection detach and then reattach that to your TFS 11 server. When you attach that to the new server, it's actually going to upgrade that database right in place there. So several different ways to move from different environments or multiple environments and get consolidated in Dev 11. Two key takeaways, though, are the TFS import command or the detach the team project collection and reattach it to the new server. Either of those will upgrade it and get it to the new schema. So another question that I've heard a few times on the import command, the question is running this really the right thing to do? Is it as high fidelity as if I had done a real import? The answer to that is yes. Behind the scenes, the import command is actually running all the same steps in the background that we would do during an upgrade process. It's a command line tool, so the front end is obviously a little bit different. But behind the scenes, the engine work is exactly the same as running an upgrade against that database. Next question I hear a lot is build. I've got my build server set up for 2010 or 2008. What's going to happen when I move to TFS Dev 11? So the first thing to be aware of is that in TFS 11, you need to have a matched build server. So that means you need to upgrade your build servers to the TFS 11 code as well. You can't have a TFS 2010 build server talking to a TFS 11 application tier. So those two always have to be matched. One thing that we do support out of the box now in this release is the ability to have a TFS 2010 build server and a TFS 11 build server sitting side by side on the same physical hardware. So one can continue talking to the 2010 server, the other one can now talk to the new Dev 11 server. So if you're going from 2010 to Dev 11, the standard build templates that you've been using will just work right out of the box. So when you do the upgrade, as long as you're using standard templates, those will carry through and your build processes will continue just like they were before. As part of the upgrade process, we do also check in a new build template that you can apply to your existing projects if you want to. What that'll do is let you get a few of the new features that are available in the Dev 11 build server. It's not required, but if you do want to get all the new features, you can do that. The upgrade project template is still supported, so if you have our older build definitions based on MS Build, we still do support the upgrade one, which will basically wrap the MS Build inside of the new workflow build format and call it and let you still execute your MS Build based builds. And then the last thing to call out here is that if you're building a Windows 8 project, right now you have to have a Windows 8 operating system as the build server. That will probably change at some time in the future, but right now, and especially in the beta time frame, building Win 8 projects, got to have a Win 8 build server. All right, next one I hear a lot is about the system specs, performance. You know, tell us what we need to do. So, very high level, you know, what you had and used in 2010, as long as it meets the operating system and SQL requirements, the actual hardware specs themselves, memory, CPU, hard drives, is going to be very similar for Dev 11. Not going to be many changes there at all. The one exception to this is SharePoint. If you're using SharePoint 2010 or the SharePoint 2010 Foundation server that we install as part of a new installation, that actually has an 8 GB memory requirement just by itself. So if you're putting SharePoint and the application tier and SQL Server and everything on one physical box together, we recommend that you have at least 10 gigs of RAM to be able to accommodate all that. So that's the one notable change in this area. Everything else, though, is going to be the same. We don't have deep perf metrics yet. We'll have those available probably closer to the RC time frame. One thing I do want to call out, though, is the Rangers have some guidance around this. And again, I'm going to show you a link at the end of this where to get the Rangers documents. And here's that link I just mentioned. So if you go to http://aka.ms/rangers-vs11, that will take you to the Rangers documentation that they've done. The Rangers are a team of internal as well as external people who are very focused on Visual Studio, Team Foundation Server, and the whole ALM platform. And they do a lot of work with the product unit and help us build tooling and then do a lot of great documents like you're going to find at this link. So if you're looking for some deeper details on anything we've talked about here today or any other planning part of the Dev 11 upgrade process, I would recommend checking out this link. All right, well, that's all I've got for today. I hope you enjoy TFS Dev 11. And if you have any issues, any problems during the install, there's a link in there that will actually go straight to the product unit. So please use that. Let us know if you have any bugs, issues, feedback, anything. We'd love to hear it. Thank you.